Good evening, folks. You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, I got to tell you that there are more lies and deceptions and just plain crap flying around out there than I've ever seen in my entire life. There must be somebody who's just sitting around cooking this stuff up, trying to foment hatred between different groups of people and keep everybody else spinning around chasing their tails with nonsense. How many of you have seen the one about take the following, Q33NY, in your Microsoft Word processor, change the font to size 26, and then switch to Wingdings. And this is supposed to be one of the call signs of one of the hijacked planes that crashed into the World Trade Center buildings or the Pentagon or went down in Pittsburgh, and it's a lie. It's not the FAA number. It's not the registration number of any of those planes. It's not the call sign of any of those planes. It's not the tail number of any of those planes. It's just a lie. But anyway, if you switch it to Wingdings or Dingbats or whatever the font name is, it's the Dingbats that are passing this crap around. And if you're passing it around, you're one of the Dingbats, really. And you convert it over, and it's like an airplane pointed at these two towers, and at the end there's a Jewish Star of David or something. And it's all a lie. And that's just one of the things. How about all these Nostradamus, so-called Nostradamus prophecies that are all fake, false? And unbelievable. I can't imagine why people take this stuff. And just because somebody else gives it to them, says, look at this, and it's really true, man, and they believe it. Nobody checks. They just go out of their mind about it and pass it on to somebody else. Tons of bogus religious crap flying around everywhere. Tons of prophecy. Now, some of it taken out of prophetic works and is legitimate prophecy, but misapplied, as usual. Others, just totally made up, totally false, deceit, just crap. I'm amazed at all this stuff. And I've been, you know, going through everything I can find since this thing happened on the 11th, and finally I got tired of it. I just switched everything off and went to bed. Sometime Saturday. Got up Sunday morning. I said, I'm not going near the computer. I'm not going to mess with any of this stuff because the whole world's gone absolutely out of their stark raving mind mad. Crazy. So I got up 7 o'clock in the morning, not expecting to find anything worth watching on television, but I turned it on anyway. And my favorite movie in the whole world was just beginning. It's called The Quiet Man with John Wayne. And I believe the actress's name is Maureen O'Sullivan. Beautiful, red-haired Irish woman. My favorite movie. I couldn't believe it. Here I was. I needed some entertainment. Something to take my mind off of all this crap and keep me away from the computer and the news channels and everything else. And I watched The Quiet Man, and boy, it was so nice. It was just so, it's such a wonderful movie. If you've never seen it, you should rent it just to watch it. And it's not one of John Wayne's normal blood and guts, Western, go kill them all, you know, that kind of tough guy stuff. It was about a guy who was tough, and he was a fighter in the ring, and accidentally killed his opponent, and so never wanted to fight again. And it's just a great movie. Just a wonderful movie. And I'm going to tell you, right now, you'd all love it. Later on Sunday, something very out of the ordinary, very strange happened to me, and to Crusher and Sugar Bear, and to the chickens. I was cooking in the kitchen, and the oven door slipped out of my hands and dropped straight down, and it sprung the hinge part of the door, and so I needed my big rubber mallet to fix it. And it was in the trunk of the car, and I went out to open the trunk of the car and fishing around. I got the mallet, and I stood up, and I looked over. You know, it's just a natural thing. It's the way I was facing. I looked over where Crusher was, and the strangest thing happened. And I'm really still pretty not bothered, not perturbed, but kind of weirded out by this. There was a large, very large puma, mountain lion, walking right across the driveway, right in front of Crusher, who was lying down beside the 58 Chevy, and actually behind the 58 Chevy. And Crusher was just watching this mountain lion walk across the drive, and Crusher could have jumped right on it easily, but he didn't even bark. He didn't bark at this big cat. He didn't show the slightest signs of being disturbed at all. It was like they knew each other. And the cat kept walking across the yard right straight toward me. And Sugar Bear just lay there and watched it. Didn't bark, nothing. The chickens, which normally if just a house cat comes around, they go running for the protection of the dogs. They just kept pecking around the yard like nothing was going on. And I had this strange feeling like something really out of the ordinary was happening, and of course it was. And I didn't know what to do. I was wearing my .45 automatic, and I know that mountain lions are terribly dangerous, but they very seldom ever attack humans. This one was not skinny. He looked healthy. His coat looked healthy. And he walked right over to me, sat down in front of me. I had my right hand up on the trunk lid. I was ready to close it when I stood up. And in the left hand, I had my mallet. On my right hip, I had my .45 automatic. And going through my mind is, should I shoot this thing, or should I, wait until it attacks me, or what? What do I do? I've never seen anything like this in my life. And this cat was purring, this real deep-throated purr, like cats do. Oh, it was real loud. It sat there and looked me right in the face for just a few seconds. And then it got up and just walked away toward the south and went down the hill. And there's a couple of houses down there. One of them's vacant. And I was just absolutely amazed. I'm still amazed, folks. I don't know really what happened there or what it all means. But mountain lions are not rare in this part of the country. They're all over these mountains. They very rarely come into town or in populated areas. In fact, I don't know of any ever doing that at all around here. Every once in a while, an elk will come into town and walk down Main Street, and usually leaves town followed by a whole trail of pickup trucks. the guys that don't know how to really hunt, that's the only way they can get an elk sometimes. And a couple of winters ago, about 3 or 4 winters ago, a cow elk came up here and camped out in the backyard and stayed there all winter. We had our own cow elk in our backyard, and I had to go down to the feed store and buy stuff to feed it because there wasn't anything for it to eat. I don't know where she came from or why she decided to stay in my backyard. But we had to keep it secret because there are some people that don't have much honor, folks. And they would have shot it. So she stayed in our backyard the whole winter. I mean, strange things happen occasionally around here involving animals. And of course, I told you about the night that the dogs were just going absolutely crazy, and I went out and opened the front door and shined the light out, and there was this thing I'd never seen before. I've since come to learn that it's a South American or Central American predator that you don't normally see in North America, and I'd never seen before in my life, not even in zoos or anything. So that's the latest latest animal experience up here at Bill Cooper's strange, weirded out house. I'm, you know, if anybody's got any explanation for that, I'd sure like to know what it was. I wasn't afraid of it, but I didn't want to get all clawed up and, you know, have my throat ripped open by a full-grown mountain lion either. And but I had this strange feeling that if I let go of that trunk lid and reached for my .45, it would have been the wrong thing to do. So I didn't do anything. I just stood still, and it just got up and walked away. Really, really strange. Taking your calls all hour, folks. The number is 520-333-4578. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Marie from Colorado.
Hi.
And you wanted someone to call if they had an explanation, and this is my explanation. It makes sense to me. That's your guardian angel.
Oh, really?
Because your two dogs... And your chickens, and we have chickens too, so we know how, you know, perturbed they can get over anything. And they sensed that that was a spiritual being. So they knew, in the sense that animals know things sometimes better than we know things, that that's your guardian angel. And, well, I'm Catholic, and in the lives of the saints, Saint John Bosco had a gray wolf as his guardian angel. And that gray wolf would come and materialize and come to his protection whenever he was in need of protection, like from assassins or robbers or anything else traveling around. And my theory is that, and I think it's a good one, that's your guardian angel.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. I really do hope that you're that you're right about that. Oh, I left another incident out, too. The ravens. Crusher plays with these ravens who... flying around up here, and they'll come and strut up and down just out of reach of his chain so he can't get to them, and they tease him, and as a reward for him playing with them and, you know, playing their game, they'll go out and they'll find bones and they'll come back and drop them for Crusher to eat.
Wow!
Isn't that strange? I've told that story before on the air, and it's still going on. It still happens.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But just the fact that, you know, you saw your favorite John Wayne movie. And it's just that I think that God holds you in the palm of his hand.
Oh, boy. Well, I certainly hope that that's true.
Okay, really well, you have a good evening and God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for
You're
calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. I know that... somebody was taking care of me in Vietnam, I'll tell you that right now. That's a fact. I could feel it. And I had premonitions and knowledge of things on that river that nobody else had. I always knew when we were going to be attacked, when my boat was going to be hit. And I knew from exactly the place where the ambush would occur. And because of that, I was able to not get me or any of my crew members killed. And I was very thankful about that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yeah.
Calling from New York. A couple of things I'd like to mention, get your feedback on it. Clinton's speech, or not Clinton's speech, but...
you got your radio on?
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Okay.
How many times do I have to say that?
Right. Okay, it's off.
Okay. Go ahead.
The speechwriters, his speech, that was all done by speechwriters.
Presidential speeches always are, or usually always are. Some presidents will sit down and write their own, but not many.
Yeah. Did you get any feedback at all on the altitude of the plane in Pennsylvania that it was flying at when it was shot down?
No.
Okay. I heard callers didn't mention about seeing Hillary during the president's speech. And I didn't see her smirk, but I seen her and Schumer look at each other.
Oh, they were both had this big old grin and smirk on their face. It was pathetic.
To me, it looked like Hillary had a corn cob up her butt.
Well, maybe she did, but, you know, there was different networks there all taking different pictures, you know.
Yeah, different angles.
So it depends on who you were watching as to what you saw.
Right. Last question was is on all the stuff on the media about Afghanistan and how they're playing it up and everything's focused in on that. I wonder if there's a possibility for your comment on a diversion for a Middle East-Iraq invasion because everybody's playing up to Afghanistan and there's nothing there. I don't know what they're planning on hitting, but nothing's being said about Iraq. I think there's a possibility.
Well, there's lots of stuff being said about Iraq. I don't know what you're paying attention to, but I see it everywhere.
Oh, okay. I'm not watching the right thing then.
I don't know what you're watching, but
yeah.
There's stuff about Iraq everywhere.
Do you think they're going to hit...
I don't know what they're going to hit. They're not telling me their plans.
Well, no, of course not.
And usually, with my contacts in government, I can find out a lot of stuff, but I'll tell you what, they got all the holes plugged on this one.
So... that tells me something when they're really QT on it.
Well, I don't know what it says. Actually, I think that this is a big scam.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to hit somebody, they wouldn't have spent, we're going on 2 weeks now? They wouldn't have spent 2 weeks telling them that they're going to hit them and building up all this military might and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's like Desert Storm. They told Saddam, we're going to come and get you. And they set up a little base in Saudi Arabia and started flying troops in little by little and bringing in supplies and stuff. And it was a whole scam because any general worth his salt would not have allowed them to build up like that. They would have hit them while they were in small numbers and weak and destroyed the base and the landing field. And, you know, so... this is all totally wrong, according to the way that military battles are fought and won. This is all—it's all a show for the people of the world. And I'm sure that they're going to go and kill some people, but I don't know who and I don't know where.
Yeah.
But they probably will be people that didn't have a damn thing to do with anything whatsoever, except maybe they're sitting on land or property under which there's oil, and I don't know.
Have you heard anything about submarines at all?
They don't call it the silent service for nothing. Nobody hears about submarines.
Okay.
I was in the submarine service, and I'm telling you right now, nobody ever hears anything about submarines. The only thing you'll hear is if you live near a sub base, you'll hear about a deployment, but you won't know where it's going or when it's coming back.
Am I correct in saying you were in the Navy and the Air Force at some high level?
What do you mean high level? I was in the Air Force in the Strategic Air Command as an aircraft and missile and hydraulic technician. I worked on B-52 bombers, KC-135 refueling aircraft and Minuteman missiles. In the Navy, I was a petty officer, quartermaster. I was a patrol boat captain in Vietnam. My specialty was navigation, and my secondary NEC was... Internal Security Specialist. I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence. I served on the briefing team for Admiral Clary, at Stinkpack Fleet. I occupied a lot of very sensitive and important positions and learned an awful lot.
Why are you still around with your divulging things on shortwave? Why haven't you been taken care of?
Well, that should be common sense. If you go hide from them and they kill you, nobody ever knows you were alive, do they?
Right.
I've stayed alive by staying firmly in the public eye. If anything happens to me, everybody will know who did it and why, and it'll verify everything I've ever told them.
Okay.
You think they want that to happen?
Not hardly.
No.
But how about Ron Brown?
What about Ron Brown?
Well, they did him in.
How do you know they did him in?
Well, from what I read, not that that...
Yeah, it's your opinion that they did him in. You don't know nothing about what happened to him.
What?
All you know, he's on a plane... I know he was on a plane crash. The plane crashed, and he died. That's what I know for sure.
Okay.
Anything beyond that is speculation.
Vince Foster.
What about Vince Foster?
Well, give me your opinion.
He was murdered.
Okay.
And I don't believe that's opinion. I believe, because of the evidence, that's probably fact.
Okay.
But still, nobody really knows it because nobody will admit it, you know. So, but the evidence points to murder.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for your excellent questions. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Turn your radio off. Goodbye. I'm not going to play with you with this radio stuff, folks. You're going to call, turn your radio off. If I hit that button and I hear feedback and it's blowing my eardrums out, I'm going to cut you off just like I just did him. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Krupp. This is Walter from New Hampshire.
Hi, Walter.
I had a question about the rifle series that you did. I listened very attentively to that.
Uh-huh.
And I was pricing rifles in the calibers that we're looking for with the impact at long range. Savage has some affordable rifles. They have one in 300 Remington Ultra Mag.
That's a good round.
I'm sorry?
That's a good one.
And they had one in 338 Winchester Mag. And what I found from studying through ballistic tables that I had in the Sierra reloading manual is that from 0 to 1,000 yards, they have approximately the same energy and possibly a little bit more in the favor of the 338.
Yeah.
Winchester Magnum.
Yeah.
The difference is that you have quite a bit more drop because you're moving the bullet about 300 feet per second slower with the 300 Win Mag.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a heavier projectile.
Yeah.
Now, essentially with the energy at muzzle and at 1,000 yards being nearly equal, would you...
If I could afford it, all other things being equal, I'd go for the 338.
Yeah, they're the same price.
338 Ultra Mag, 338 Winchester Magnum, 338. If you really want a super long-range flat shooting rifle, the 338-378 probably beats them all. But it's a barrel burner, too.
And it's a really expensive gun.
Yeah.
And the ammo is about $95 a box from Weatherby.
Not anymore, because you don't have to buy Weatherby. You can get brass and reload your own.
That's been around long enough that there's enough market for that now, huh?
Oh, yeah. 338, 370 has been around for a while. It's not new. The new calibers are the Remington Ultra Mags.
Right.
And from what I understand, nobody so far is having any trouble finding brass with them.
The Ultra Mags, I guess, are chambered in more, in a greater variety of rifles.
Yes.
And the ammunition is more available.
Yes.
And it's more affordable.
Yes.
But I guess the 338 Remington Ultra Mag comes as close as you can get to the 338, 378 Weatherby without the great expense.
Yeah. Yep. And 338 is a flatter shooter than almost anything else except for but my rifle is a custom rifle.
Right.
You'll never find it anywhere. I built it from, you know.
Scratch.
Yeah. With the help of a good gunsmith.
Now, does the sectional density of the larger caliber, say the 338 over the 300, have a greater impact, even though on paper the energies are about the same between, like, the 300 Ultra Mag and the 338 Win Mag?
The energy is a function of the weight of the bullet.
And
so if you're comparing two bullets of the same weight,
right.
the downrange velocity, or excuse me, the downrange energy is going to be approximately the same unless the velocity varies significantly.
Right. Well, it's sort of in a comparison between those two, and the reason I picked those two in particular is because you can get a Savage in a stainless steel with a 26-inch barrel and a muzzle brake that you can turn on and off that the company claims reduces kick by 30%.
Yeah.
They only have it in the 300 Ultra Mag, the 338 Win Mag. So it's sort of like you can shoot the 200 grain bullet out of the 300 Win Mag about 300 beats per second faster than you can the 250 grain bullet out of the 338 Win Mag.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of difference downrange.
But because the 338 is heavier, at the other end, you've got a little bit more energy even than the 180 grain. Or 200 grain, I'm sorry, of the 300 Ultra Mag.
Yeah.
So what you get is a lighter bullet going faster at 1,000 yards, or a slightly heavier bullet going a little slower at the end of 1,000 yards with a 338
Mag. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I was wondering if you'd be better off with a slightly slower bullet that's heavier and has a larger sectional density than you would a lighter bullet going faster.
Well, you have to... What you want for long-range shooting is the flattest trajectory you can find. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Which means high velocity.
Right.
And you want something that's going to deliver a lot of energy at the target, or you're wasting your time. You see, there's all these guys that practice what they call bench rest shooting.
Right.
And their goal is to, you know, hit the target at 1,000 yards and have these little half-inch groups. And they're shooting 6mm... PPC. The problem with that is they're shooting these little, you know, 100 grain bullets and stuff like that. When it gets there, it'll poke a hole in the paper of the target, and it's got a flat trajectory, and it's moving at a high velocity. But whether or not it would kill a man is, you know, anybody's guess. It certainly would not penetrate any kind of body armor or thick protective clothing or anything like that.
Right.
So you have to trade off on these. They're getting extreme accuracy. You're not going to get that extreme accuracy, but you'll be able to hit your target if you have a good rifle and you're a good marksman. And if you can put as much velocity as you can behind the heaviest bullet that you can, not going, you know, if you go too heavy, then you're defeating your whole purpose.
Right.
In order to get it there with a flat trajectory so that you can hit your target where you want to hit your target and deliver enough energy to do the damage that you need to do. Otherwise, you're wasting your time taking the shot.
Now, if the energy was going to be equal in these two rounds that I mentioned between the 300 Ultra Mag and the 338 Win Mag, if the energy was equal at the other end because of the slightly lighter weight...
I'd still take the 338 because it's a flatter trajectory.
I see. One last thing. Oh, you mentioned about barrel erosion or something, I think you just said. Is there a...
Yeah, the big magnums.
Right.
Will, especially if you're shooting boat tail bullets.
Right.
With a high ballistic coefficient.
Right.
Will erode the throat of your barrel, which is the point just in front of the chamber.
Is that a factor or a function of the velocity of the projectile down the barrel?
No, it's caused by the peculiar shape of the boat tail, the tail end of the bullet, and
right,
the shape of a reverse cone, which concentrates the hot gases right into the barrel.
Right.
And it literally melts the barrel.
So should we be looking for bullets that are not boat tail, but just a...
Well, if you want the best accuracy, you need the highest ballistic coefficient, and those are all boat tails.
Right. So it's not a matter of if I shoot a round that's 3,300 feet per second at the muzzle, it's going to result in increased barrel wear or throat erosion versus a heavier projectile going at 2,900 feet per second.
Yeah.
That won't... Doesn't make...
Yeah, and flat-based bullets will not give you that much throat erosion, but eventually, when you're shooting the heavy magnums, which all of these... will cause throat erosion, even if you are shooting flat-based bullets. But you won't get as much with a flat-based bullet as you will with a boat tail.
So would you think that the 3038 Remington Ultramag would likely have less throat erosion in the life of the barrel than like the 338-378?
Well, that's going to depend upon the pressure inside the chamber and the temperature.
I see.
And whether or not you're shooting a flat base or a boat tail bullet.
How many rounds would you suspect, I mean, maybe a range of rounds that you could expect the barrel life would feel like in your gun, for example, that you're familiar with intimately? Looking at...
In my rifle, probably the barrel has a maximum life of maybe 900 to 1,000 rounds.
Wow. How many did you put through it?
Probably 280, somewhere around there.
Now, when practicing, if you were practicing for all the techniques of a long-range shot,
uh-huh.
and you were doing it with, say, a 308, because it's cheaper to shoot, obviously, it's
uh-huh.
less punishing to you, because it is a center fire, significant enough round, you know, that people hunt with it, would you be able to have enough practice shooting that 308?
Yeah.
Occasionally sprinkled in some of your 338 rounds?
Sure.
Be able to...
Yeah, it's not the rifle you're practicing with. You see, you have to understand your ballistic tables for whatever round you're shooting with whatever rifle.
Right, you can get on target.
For whatever rifle you're shooting, the technique of marksmanship is the same
right.
for every rifle.
Right.
Every single rifle that there is. So you can practice with a 22.
Right.
If you want to. I do a lot of that. I practice with 22, I practice with my 30-06, I practice with the... I haven't practiced much with the 308 because I just broke in the barrel not too long ago, but I can practice with my 308, and I got a 223. I can practice there. But I do a lot of practice with my 22. Marksmanship is the same no matter what rifle you're firing.
Right.
The only thing that you have to watch out for is that you're not afraid of recoil. If you're afraid of recoil and you're practicing with a 22 and then you go shoot with a rifle that's got a recoil, and you start flinching, you're never going to hit a target at long range. You may not even hit a target at close range.
Right. So you can get a lot of practice in with your 22.
Yeah.
Some practice in with the 308 so that you're accustomed to the bigger bang and the more recoil.
Well, believe it or not, the highest recoil rifle that I've got is my 30-06. And that's a Belgium Browning BAR.
Automatic?
Well, it's a semi-automatic.
That's what I mean.
But it's the same mechanism as the BAR.
Yeah.
In fact, it's called a BAR.
So then you would occasionally sprinkle in some of it with your long-range rifle to get it dialed in and to know where that gun's going to shoot.
Absolutely.
Put your heavy practice on the less expensive.
Yeah, but once I work out my reloading regimen and I'm using cases that all weigh exactly the same and are exactly the same length, all the bullets weigh exactly the same and are the same kind of bullet always, exactly the same powder charge all the time, and exactly the same primers. Once I've got that worked out, and I've worked out my ballistic tables, all I have to do is remember the hold over or hold under for the different ranges all the way out to where I have my rifle zeroed, and then beyond that during the drop. Because it's going to be above the line of sight from maybe about... 50 or 75 yards out to where it's zeroed, and then below that it's all going to be dropped.
Right, I recall your rifle series just a couple times.
And if you're shooting at something that you know the height of, as I explained in my shooting series, you don't have to aim at a particular part of the body. You aim for a spot where you know that whether the bullet rises or drops, it's going to hit your target. And whether it's going to rise or drop is based upon the range. And if it's before your zero, you always hold low. And if it's after your zero, you hold high. And I explain that in the shooting series. And if you listen to it, you know how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
And it works every time. You'll never miss your target unless you're totally ignorant on wind. Now, if you're shooting big, heavy bullets like I shoot, wind is, unless it's blowing, more than normal is not much of a factor.
If I recall, you had 300 grain.
Yeah, I used 300 grain Spitzer boat tails.
Now, when you
the soft point boat tails.
Now, when you put the tungsten quarter inch rod in the end,
uh-huh.
Did you reweigh your bullets so that you could?
No, I weigh the tungsten.
Because you drilled out some.
I drill out exactly the same amount in each bullet.
Yeah.
Everything I do is to the exact same standard.
So when you, after the tungsten rod was in there, the bullet ended up weighing 300 grains.
Yeah.
When you were done.
Yeah.
I see. And those would be like 8-inch diameter, quarter inch long, or the carbide, the tungsten?
It doesn't matter what you use, as long as you use the same thing all the time. You adapt it for your own personal, you may not be able to get what I can get.
Right. Well, I can't tell you, I very much appreciate it. I'm a little nervous of stumbling here a little.
That's okay.
I very much appreciate all you've done over the years. And looking forward to many more years of you staying healthy and staying on the air.
Well, I hope you're right about that, too. I'm saying that a lot tonight.
Thank you very much. You know, I regret I didn't go out to one of the weeks that you used to have.
Oh, our conferences? Yeah, well, you missed something wonderful because...
I was going to go the last year you had it, and I thought, well, you know, money's tight, this and that. I'll go next year, and next year never happened. So that's one of my regrets in life. So, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
520-333-457. I love to talk about shooting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Todd in Minneapolis. I haven't talked to you for a long time, many years, as a matter of fact. I'd just like to say, though, that you hit this one dead on the head, didn't you?
Oh, you heard my predictions way back when, huh?
Way back, yeah. I was a somewhat regular caller, or occasional caller, in the early 90s or mid-90s, and yeah, you nailed this one right. I haven't had a working radio for a while, so this is the first time I've been able to hear you for a while, for quite some time, but you said right down to the T,
yep.
This is how it would happen.
Yep.
This is what people would, gladly... wave their flag, but throw their rights
yeah.
up in the air right along with.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're waving the flag, which represents all these principles and ideals. See, our country is not was never meant to be defined as an amount of land surrounded by borders. Our country is principles and ideals enshrined within a document that protects us from government. And recognizes creator-endowed rights. And these people wave the flag, which stands for all of that, while they're giving all of that away, thinking that they're being very patriotic, and in truth, they're being very stupid, ignorant, and are doing more damage than an invading army could ever do, because no invading army could ever survive invading this country,
right.
And could never beat this country. And... it's like the Founding Fathers said, if anybody ever destroys this country, it will be the American people who do it.
Yeah, well, and here it comes.
Yep.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
God bless you, too.
You, too. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to apologize to you, Bill, for not shutting my radio off. I love your show. It's the greatest show I've ever heard in my life.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to overdo it. That's
and you stand for everything that's right. I'm behind you 100%. And God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
And anybody that stands behind you, God bless them too.
Thank you.
I believe that puma, or that animal that was there,
uh-huh.
I believe that you have an anointing from the great creator, and that you're a special man because you do the right thing for everybody. And you love everybody, and you speak the truth. All I want to say is God bless you and anybody that stands behind you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Well, that was a very, very nice thing to say. And once again, I hope you're right. I really do. I hope that you're right. Good evening, you're on the air.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
You owe me a toaster.
I owe you a toaster?
Or maybe a blender.
A blender? Why?
Well, I've been listening to this program now since June of 1994.
Uh-huh.
And I think I finally found a chink in your armor.
Well, let's hear the chink.
It wasn't Marino Sullivan.
Oh, who was it?
It was Marino Herrera.
You know, I started to say Marino Herrera, and then I thought, no, I think it's Marino Sullivan. But you're right.
You know, my mother was Irish Catholic, and my father was English Protestant.
Uh-huh.
And they both enjoyed that movie. And we have it on tape, and we've watched it dozens of times over the years, scores of times. And I think that anybody, whatever religion they are, should watch that movie. That is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I like it because of the humanity in it.
Yeah.
And because of the characters. I mean, they're people that I would love everybody in that village. I really would. Even the people that you might think were a little obnoxious, I would have just loved them just for the characters that they are. It's a movie that has just a bottomless well of humanity, and that's why I like movies about people.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's all about, not to sound corny, but it's about brotherhood, and that's what it's about. You know. Whatever, that's my two cents, sir.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I just love that movie. I can't say enough about it. It's just a wonderful movie. It's about people and their foibles and their little faults and their goodness and their failings and, you know, and their triumphs and it's about men and women. And it's about trying to find happiness and, you know, it's hard for everybody. But they somehow managed to do it. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Goodbye. I warned you. If I hear that feedback, you're gone. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we're taking your calls for the rest of the hour. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And now you know why. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I made it. First, I have a couple things I want to mention, ask you about, but first, I guess I should mention, I think it was Thursday, when I was listening to your program. I don't know what was going on. I was trying to, just because I was out in the car listening to you on my portable shortwave, I was trying to reach you on the payphone, and it wouldn't go through, and I dialed the operator, and she confirmed that, yes, it was a working number, but she couldn't do anything about it with me using quarters. That would have to be a collection.
Is there a point to this?
Call or credit card.
Is there a point to this story?
I just think
we all know how to use payphones.
Right. She couldn't help me with the quarters, only if it was collect call or using a credit card. But she says I couldn't just use the quarters to dial the phone number.
What's that got to do with the broadcast? Have you got something to say?
I just thought that was very peculiar. But anyway, I was wondering, I heard this on another radio program. I was wondering if you had any perspective on it about the late Sonny Bono. It was mentioned that he was actually murdered because of him doing his independent research about the Waco, Texas massacre.
Sonny Bono hit a tree skiing on a mountain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, someone said a different, like I said, and also, remember you were mentioning a while ago that if it didn't work about taking America's guns away, that the city of New York would be bombed to get people to beg for the New World Order or the United Nations taking over.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't. I guess this isn't actually it yet, is it?
Well, it sure is.
Or maybe just the start of it. I see.
Well, if it still doesn't work, the next step is an atomic weapon.
I certainly hope not. And
that's their ace in the hole. If they still can't get the American people under control and get the guns out of their hands so they can have their one world totalitarian socialist government that will eventually become communist, they'll detonate an atomic weapon in an American city and the whole world will bow down and suck on their you-know-what.
Terrible. I pray that never happens. Also, I was wondering about, I find it quite bizarre that's mentioned with the China was mentioned having a 200 million standing army, and how it says in like the Bible book of Revelation says.
No, we don't get into that.
No, not being a Bible. I want to just mention, I don't think that would ever happen, because if that were to happen, that would give a lot of people to believe that the what's saying in the book of Revelation about this 200 million
army. We don't get into
that.
This stuff. Okay? You right. Want religion, go to church.
Right. No, I'm not preaching any religion. I'm just saying things.
I know what you're saying. We don't get into that, because the next call will be somebody else that disagrees with you because of their religion. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
That's,
right.
That's how you totally ruin a broadcast, is getting into this stuff, because everybody out there's got a different belief and a different idea and a different dogma, and they all get upset.
Okay, and then a bunch of other people get, I get your point. Also, gee, I do have my own, I guess, I thought that was very bizarre, the animal story you mentioned about the beginning of the broadcast.
Really? It was extremely bizarre. I'm still a little shook up by it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. My mom, my mother has her, I know it sounds very, very corny, but my mother has her own weird animal story in the 60s. It happened before I was born. I think it was 63 or something, and when her brother passed away, and I don't know if it means anything, or if it's just a coincidence, or it means absolutely nothing, or what. But her story is that as soon as she got to the car for her brother's funeral, that a white dove followed her in her car all the way to the funeral. I don't know if that means anything, or doesn't mean anything, or what. But that's her story.
In symbology, the dove is the symbol of the soul.
Uh huh. Yeah, I just think it's very bizarre. Anyway,
it's also a symbol of the Holy Spirit in Christianity.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just think it's very, very bizarre, something like that. Anyway, I certainly pray for you, even, you know, when you're listening to or not listening to, that you come out well, you and your family, to be safe, and hopes that everything turns out well, hopefully better than expected. Well, hope you stay very, very safe. And thank you very much for all of your information throughout these years. And thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And good evening. You're on the air. Chicken plucker. Who's next? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hi.
Listen, last night I was listening to the Australian radio, and I guess I don't know what time it was from here to there, but they were talking about a raid of illegal stock market buying and selling in Thailand, and it was briefly, they gave a little bit of the audio from the raid. Maybe you can get some information on it from your friends down under.
I don't know why.
Oh, well, I thought you were, you know, just for what's going on with the stock market up and down, the whole scenario here.
The stock market is a symbol of gross greed and stupidity. People are buying and selling pieces of paper that for the first time in a long time are approaching the actual value of the companies that they're buying and selling the stock in.
That's right. I've been following that for a while, and it was quite interesting. Millions and millions of dollars. I didn't know exactly how many, but I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, they're not buying these pieces of paper to own a part of the country. A part of the corporation or company that the stock represents.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying it in the hopes that it will go up so that they can satisfy their greed and make tons of money buying and selling these pieces of paper.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting when they said today that the stock market had, just all of a sudden jumped up and everybody was happy about it. I was thinking maybe that had a connection to it.
don't bet on it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
That was Virginia. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. How you doing?
Good.
I don't know if you caught the op-ed page of today's New York Times.
Nope.
The whole page was devoted to America surrendering their sovereignty and joining the world government.
Well, I warned you that that's what this is all about.
And
you know something? They still don't know who did it. They claim they know who did it. But how can they know who did it when all of the peoples whose names they have, they're discovering They used aliases and stole other people's identity.
And you know what? All these people making these cell phone calls that were on these hijacked planes...
They were forced to make them by the hijackers.
Yeah, but you know, none of them described what the hijackers looked like.
Well, I don't know if that's really true or not, because I didn't hear those phone calls.
None of them, from what I understand, I'm sure somebody...
Well, we don't know that. I mean, well, you're speculating. You don't know whether they did or not.
Yeah.
I will tell you something stranger even than that. If these are really Islamic fundamentalist terrorists who worked for Osama bin Laden, if they're going to steal false ID and assume the identities of other people, why didn't they assume the identities of Jewish people, our Catholics, our Irish Republican Army? What's the point, especially if you're going to die in the crash?
I don't know, but...
I do. It's to make people think you're somebody you're not.
Yeah.
That's the only purpose of it. There can be no other purpose.
One more point, and I'll let you go, that on this op-ed page about talking about America surrendering its sovereignty and going into world government, I could not believe it, Mr. Cooper. There was actually a veiled threat. They said that if America did not do this, that we would be subjected to more terrorist attacks.
Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Well, I don't know what I've been telling you this for years, and I've documented it, proved it with governance. It's the policy of the United States government.
I'm afraid to really know who is behind these attacks, because I don't want to believe the awful, horrible possibility that it was, you know, elements within our own government.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not just elements within our own government. They're all around the world. They belong to the highest degrees of all of the brotherhoods and secret societies, and they're collectively known as the Illuminati. They are in Canada and controlling that government. They're here. They're in Mexico. They're at the top of all, just about all the governments in the world, and the think tanks, and they're ensconced in the colleges and everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm
so when you say people inside of our government, yeah, they're inside of our government, but they're also inside Canadian government. They're inside the Israeli government. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it seems like the evidence is...
It's not a government. It's a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Of mystics who have a dream to create the utopian world. It's the same old bullshit they've been pulling for hundreds and thousands of years.
Now, you know that the plan is that the Third World War would start in the Middle East, and out of this world war, they would create their new world order.
Yep. And there will be chaos and civil war in this country, and I'm telling you that will be true also.
Do you think that's what we are beginning to see right now?
Could be. Certainly could be.
God help us all.
Well, I think we better learn how to help ourselves, actually.
God bless you, Mr. Cooper.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, and folks, I got to tell you something. I'm the only one in the entire world that's been consistently right all the time about everything that I've told you. Not because God whispers in my ear. Not because I can see in some crystal ball. Not because I'm psychic. Not because I can read people's minds. But because I've done so much research and I've studied this group, I have pinned them down, I've identified them, I know what their plans are, everything. And if I didn't, how could I be so consistently right? And if I am so consistently right, and you all know I am, how come nobody listens to me? They listen to all these other people who claim to be psychics and stuff, and they claim they have this record and that record for accuracy and stuff. None of them even come close to me. You'd think people would be beating down my door wanting to know what's going to happen next. Well, I know what's going to happen next. And if you keep listening to this broadcast, I'll tell you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Joe from Boston.
Hi, Joe.
Got in touch with the bookstore, and I
a fortunate son, they said it was blacklisted, but I found that where I can get a copy, a hard copy, $180, and they have the revised version. Someone said don't buy that because they cut certain things out. And I also found a hard copy of Iron Man Report, the report from Iron Man.
It's the report from Iron Mountain.
Oh, Mountain, yeah, that's $55, and the girl was shocked that they Bush blacklisted it. Well, that just shows you, and my other question was two things before we go. Do you...
Wait, you were talking to somebody in a bookstore, and they actually said Bush blacklisted these books?
Yes.
doesn't surprise me a bit.
Cambodian girl.
Yeah.
And they... Two things. Before I go, I'll go...
You've got to hurry up because we're out of time.
The TV had a poll on, would you give up your rights to stop this terrorism? Yes. And do you think our government had a hand in staging this? I've heard stories. I kind of feel the way you do. I feel that they may have, or they almost... I feel they have. I don't know for what reason. Maybe just change the world to one world government. But I'd like your comment on that, and I'll listen on the air.
I've already told you about it. I've been telling you about that for years. You know my comment.
Well, I guess that you're right then. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. That's it, folks. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Kuhn Allison. I love you. Tune in again tomorrow night for the Hour of the Time. Here's truly William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. Don't miss it, folks. If you do, you'll be sorry.